because stupid me, right? I'm allowing that to dictate whether I'm allowed to be something that can exist, that can be, that can even be loved, that can be cared for. Why should that be? What if I just... So then the question became, you know, it was a series of questions, right? It's like talking to multiple parts and splinters of yourself, talking to each other. And it's like, what if I just... So there was the guy going, what if you just loved yourself, man? You're asking all these questions. What am I doing wrong? Why this? You know, how can I find peace? How can I find peace despite everything that's happening out here, everyone else is doing? How can I stop relying on external factors? Because I keep trying all these different solutions, trying to be stoic, trying to be, go through self-improvement, trying to ignore it all, trying to distract myself. Nothing seems to stick. All these thousands of solutions I've tried to be self-confident and not have myself be dependent on other people, eventually, one or the other, they just fail, you know? And I know that, you know, there's not going to be any one solution that sticks. You got to use a combination of different solutions. So it's, you know, to be clear, maybe even this solution of making sure that you love yourself intrinsically, no matter what, unconditionally, maybe that's a solution that won't stick all the time. Maybe I'll have to rely on other solutions once in a while too, right? I think that's going to be the case, right? I know you guys, if you guys have had this problem, you'll probably have relied on a bunch of different solutions, right? So in my case, I would say that, you know, today's source I found was that ultimately, in just this case, and maybe I think it really is a main theme that I need to persist with, is that, you know, what if I just love myself? What if instead of asking how, so it's the first step is loving yourself and caring enough for yourself and saying that no matter what happens, no matter what I say or do, you know, no matter what I say, do, think, feel, you know, removing the critic, the worst critic, the self-judgment, and no matter what anyone else says, thinks, feels, or does, no matter what their pattern of behavior or reaction or response to me, and no matter how I think or respond to myself, no matter how the world, nor internally myself, respond to myself, I can be. It's not like I deserve, you know, the world or anything. It's not some egotistical thing. It's not like I deserve like fame or no, not at all. It's not even like I deserve love. I don't even deserve that necessarily, but it's not about deservingness at all, right? It's not like I'm entitled to anything. That's one of the things that used to irks me all the time. That's actually one of the main problems. It's probably the main reason why I couldn't love myself until literally just hours ago. It was that I had this big problem with people being self-entitled. I felt that if you loved yourself, you felt you deserved something that you didn't deserve. But that can be easily reconciled, actually. Deservingness, you know, doesn't necessarily have anything to do with being someone who's worthy of existing. You know, you're right. You don't have to be happy. You don't have to be loved. You don't have to be accepted. You just want people to leave you alone, right? And that's what I wanted. I just wanted to be. And then it said, if they gossip and ridicule me and laugh at me and treat me badly and harass me and, you know, throw a fit and throw items and, you know, talk smack and stuff like that and threaten me and stuff like that, you know, it's like, then I can't be me. That's what they're saying. And then I'm like, okay, so then I'm responding to that. I'm reacting to them reacting to me. They're telling me that I can't be, but for some reason I'm listening to them that I can't be. Why? Why? Because I don't love myself, because I don't think I can be. I've internalized that throughout my entire life, listening to other people, particularly within my own blood, my own blood. Birth givers tell me that I'm not allowed to exist in this world. That, you know, I'm not worthy of living, that I'm not supposed to be alive, that, you know, that the only reason why I'm supposed to be here is to be their tool for immortality. It's a weird thing to have a father tell you that, right? But that's how my biological used to, you know, go on these like 5-7 acts. Sometimes they last for like half a day. And you just repeat the same things over and over again, over 100 times, going in circles. It's not like that anymore, but, you know, it had an impact. And there were other problems from the other maternal side as well. So overall, my sense of care for oneself, for myself, was crushed. There was nothing, basically. And I recognized that I always knew that that was an issue, but I tried to embrace that as a strength. And I tried to find other ways to make it work. And I tried 100,000 ways. Like, that's an exaggeration. Like 100 ways, 1,000 ways, that wouldn't be an exaggeration. But there's a myriad of solutions you can go for. And they literally go into 4 digits, like thousands of solutions, all with their little tweaks and twists, right? And I think this is the source, right? I mean, it's cliche because people say, you know, it's telling when something is, when something is truthful, it tends to be repeated, right? It's one of those things that, you know, just like cliches are repeated over the test, it's because they stand the test of time. They stand the test of time because they are tried and tested and continue to prevail. They're a consistent theme because they are more adherent to the truth and more adherent to a solution than all the other contenders. Survival of the fittest, but not in terms of biology, but in terms of abstract, conceptual problem solving. The solutions that don't work, they fall through. The solutions that do work, they stand the test of time, and people start repeating them to the point that they become kind of meaningless and annoying. But for those who are going through that specific event or issue that need that cliche that speaks to that specific solution and problem, it's tremendously helpful. Of course, you don't really realize that until you decipher it yourself. You just have to experience it. The cliche isn't going to help you. That's why cliches are so useless sometimes, right? It's only helpful when you decipher it yourself. But then there's no point of the cliche because it was meaningless in the first place. It was only meaningful after you deciphered it yourself. Not always. Sometimes you can learn it from other people, right? You can go to a classroom and sometimes you make some sort of revelation. But rarely is it like that. Usually it's some personal experience. And for me, and I don't know about you guys, but in this case, it was definitely because of walking back. I finally got off the bus and I was walking back and I said, you know, what am I doing? Right? It's like, what if I just love myself? All this time, the way they talk about me, gossip about me, bitch about me, get angry at me, accuse me of things, threaten me, like all these things. It's like, what? Throw things around. Like, why does that even get to me in the first place? Are they not allowed to do that? First of all, yeah, they are. They can say what they want. Is it because people can't gossip? They can. Why? Why can they gossip? Why can they get angry? Why can they throw a fit? Why can they throw a tantrum? Why can they be egotistical? Why can they be controlling, manipulative? Well, the reason why they can do it is the same reason why that if I wanted to, I could do it too. And I had a big problem with this as well. You can see why I was limiting myself again. I said if I was manipulative and gossipy and rumory or whatever, we got angry, then I could no longer exist, that there's something wrong with me. I set certain standards and I said if I cross this, there's something wrong with me, and I can't do that, because then I can't be. If I do that, then I cannot be. I cannot be. I can't be that. I cannot exist as that. That's a problem. That's something that should not happen. But actually, I can. And more importantly, this is where I was wrong, because they can do that. They can too. They are worthy of being loved. Or worthy is a strong word, right? Deservingness, worthiness. Let's stray away from deservingness, entitlement, or stuff like that. Let's stray away from those kind of words, those concepts of, you know, deserving. No. entitlement, no. But they can be loved. They're allowed to be loved. They're allowed to be cared for, supported for, even if they throw a temper tantrum, get angry, gossip, spread rumors, slander people, laugh, mock, and ridicule, are awfully mean-spirited or really angry or really judgmental. Even if they're a really awful person, they can be loved. And that was something that struck me as, I didn't allow that at all. I was judging them. I was critical of them. I said, I don't like that. And you're not a good person. And, you know, that's unacceptable. That's inappropriate, which it probably is inappropriate, totally. But does that mean that they cannot be loved, that they cannot be, that they're not allowed to do that? No. The truth is they're allowed to do that, right? They're allowed to gossip. They're allowed to get angry. They're allowed to, you know, they probably, you know, it's not a surprise that, you know, if they're gossiping, it's because they went through something really deeply riveting for them. Maybe it's not a problem for me, but again, what's not a problem for me is a problem for them. Just like what's not a problem for them is a problem for me. So the other way around, it's just like, you know, something really bad happened to them and then they started gossiping. Something they found unbearable. And then they got angry. Something they got, you know, it's just obvious, right? I've said this before many times. We've all said this. We tried to like, but then we're careful. We become careful not to become overly supportive of them. We can't give people excuses all the time, right? As a result, sometimes we forget that, you know, in being cautious. Started me on this story, and it only got crazier. And then eventually developing this tendency to walk on eggshells, right? Because we, you know, we're like, oh, what am I gonna do to, you know, that's how I felt the entire time living here. My entire life, actually, with, it's always the same kind of people, right? It's like, keep getting dragged along, strung along the same types of people because like-minded people seek like-minded people. And if you're kind of dependent on those kind of people, then they'll kind of string you along, so. But then it's like, but the question becomes, you know, kind of lost my trail of thought, you can tell. Why do you depend on them? Why does my ability to be, to exist in this world, why does your ability to exist in this world to just be, to just seek peace, to not, in this case, again, I'm using my example here is that it's not one of love or approval or happiness, it's one not acceptance even, it's just to be left alone, the right to be, to not be interfered with, right? That's one of those like charters of right things. Why can't you just leave me alone? Right? It's like, can't you just stop harassing me? Can't you just not do something bad instead of doing something good? I'm not asking you to do something good for me. I'm asking you to just leave me alone, to not do something bad to me. It's like, why is that so difficult? Why can't that be? And, you know, of course, those are all the wrong questions because the truth is they can do what they want, first of all. And if I'm actually self-actualized and fully complete as a person, no matter what they do or say, no matter how they gossip or slander or bitch or gossip or spread accusations or throw a fit or throw items around or slam a door or stomp around or whatever, you know, it's like none of that should really affect me in any way. As long as I love myself, as long as I care about myself, as long as, like, what bearing does what they do have any impact on me? And then I just felt ridiculously silly. I was like, oh man, I've been, as much as they've been dramatic, the fact that I responded to that means that I've been dramatic also. Obviously, I knew that, but I was like, I didn't realize how dramatic I was. Once I realized that, you know, really, like, this is a solution that I've passed by 100 times over. Everyone passes by certain solutions, and you really look at a solution and seriously focused on it, and you realize, oh, wait a minute, it's right there, staring right directly in my face. I've seen this 100 times over, 4 or 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and I didn't hone in on it. I let it pass, but it was here all along. The answer was here all along. Love yourself. And honestly, it can be love too, right? So here's the other thing, that here's my other problem, right? That fed into the source of the problem was I didn't love myself. But then tied to that was everything else, including my judgment that other people who get angry, who are manipulative and controlling, who are hypersensitive and, you know, explode in a fit of rage over little things that don't matter. My judgment was that they should not be loved. They should be isolated and put into asylum. What a heavy-handed judgment, honestly, from me. And you're like, no, it is inappropriate. Well, it's inappropriate, yeah, but can you do anything about it? No. Sometimes you can. But here's another thing, right? It's like at the very core of it, it's like, does that mean that they can't just be who they are? If they're angry about something, can't they just be angry? If they feel like talking smack and talking shit about people, are they not allowed to talk shit about people? You're like, no, that's hate speech, right? It's like, I don't know about that. People can say what they want, even if it's something horrible. People can do horrible things. Doesn't mean that they're free of consequence. I mean, if they do a horrible thing that's criminal, they'll get arrested, hopefully. They might not, but hopefully they will. If they see something awful, hopefully that backfires on them, because other people will say, what are you doing? You know, don't do that. Don't say that. That's not a good thing. But sometimes they sometimes get away with it. I mean, like, the whole point is that what about it? You know, so they're not allowed to say bad things. So they're not allowed to do bad things. And if they do those bad things or say those bad things or, you know, make accusations or make assumptions or they kind of ridicule you or they're oversensitive or they get angry or they throw a fit of rage or they have a big ego if they're narcissistic or borderline or whatever, is that supposed to mean that they cannot just be who they are, honestly, their authentic self? Because in that particular state, that's actually what they feel. That's actually what they think. That's actually how they behave. No more than you yourself, than I myself, or all of us who may or may not be watching this video. No more than all of us can just be us. And we should be fine with that. No matter what anyone says or does or feels or... And no matter how you honestly feel or think or experience yourself, you can just be. So the answer to the question, of course, was, you know, how do you love yourself? I'm going through so much pain. My chest is heavy. It feels like it's going to explode. I'm confused. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. There must be so many things I'm doing wrong. Maybe I'm not doing anything wrong and I'm overthinking. So that's what's wrong. What is it? Can't figure it out. Or maybe there are so many things and I can't hone in on what the main thing is. So confused, so distraught, so much pain. Don't understand it. Again, most people won't experience this kind of heavy emotional pain. For those of you who have been into like a really abusive relationship or a very, you know, very extremely tragic event that has left a permanent, you know, mark on you, or not permanent, but a very difficult to remove or difficult to resolve. You know, you call it a trauma, but you know, I'm trying to avoid certain words because the words like trauma and abuse, you know, these words have been turned into politicized like football things to be thrown across. One side says you're oversensitive, the other person says you're insensitive. One is far left, one is far right, you know. One's like a snowflake, the other one's like a redneck. It's like, it's dumb, you know. Before things became politicized, it had meaning. That was just objective. It wasn't some political football, you know, to say that someone's oversensitive or someone's insensitive. That's just a very objective scientific word there. It's just like, oh, by the way, you know, some things kind of set you off that maybe are not as normal, or some things don't set you off enough, even though they probably should compared to the norm. So it's just like a standard based off of a population demographic. It's not got to do with any politics, right? Or any moral judgment, you know? So I am trying to avoid certain words, but ultimately, it's the other way around. If you want to learn how to love yourself, in my particular case, I don't know if this will work for you. I'm not giving advice. It's not a suggestion. In a description, I make it very clear. Nothing here is advice. It's not suggestions or anything like that. But I am sharing my experience to this question and to the problem that prompted this solution. Right? I was confused. I was distraught. I am suffering from multiple disorders, clinically, from a past that should not have been, but it was. Not isolated just to me, but surely not hundreds of thousands, but millions of other people across the world, because it's a big world and there are billions of people. So even if it's only 0.01%, that's still at least a couple tens of millions of people have experienced something similar. Right? An upbringing with a very high ACE score. So ACE score as meaning ACE, if you guys have done the research. No, that's just, you can just Google the term, adverse childhood experiences. So you have developmental trauma. You didn't grow up properly, but most people don't. But this is like really adverse. So heavy alcoholism with like a single or no parents at all. And then, you know, went through, you know, some severe adverse, like sexual or emotional or, you know, psychological or physical debilitating event, you know. Like just piled on top of each other, right? Just the cards that I was dealt didn't work out really well. So then the question, though, you know, was like, well, how does someone like that, who eventually grows up unable to figure out this problem and then finds out the problem is that they can't love themselves, so they can start asking, how do I become confident in myself? How do I find worth in myself? How do I come to like myself? How do I come to be at peace with myself? And you try all these solutions just like I have, and you try a thousand, you know, dozens and then hundreds and thousands of different mind tricks or mind games, mental gymnastics or physical solutions or meditation or, you know, or your own dissociative, you know, fantasies or whatever it is, or you try to go distract yourself or you try to work out because it's healing the body, doing exercise definitely helps the mind as well. So you tried all these things, you know, they're just all fleeting. None of them really stick. And in my case, I think I found something that does stick, that is just so super cliche, right? The deciphering, the deduction, and finally the right amount of focus on the core of the core of the core, the root of all roots of the problem was, what if I believed myself that I could just be? What if I allowed myself to exist? What if I'm allowed to be myself no matter what anybody else, whoever they are, no matter what they say, no matter what they feel, no matter what they do? Why do I depend on that, right? Obviously, we've already been through this before, right? Don't depend on external factors. It's one thing to say it, but then there's a whole, you know, dozens, maybe hundreds of layers intermeshed. And you're like, how do you just not care? And a lot of normal people will not have this conundrum because they grow up healthy or they have problems, but it's not adverse enough. It's not high enough on the ACE score that it leaves a scarring mark that is very difficult to remove. So then there are people who actually need that because they've been scarred at a level that cannot be easily removed. Like that is tremendously difficult to remove. And in this case, I said, you know, it's backwards, right? I was asking, why can't I love myself? How do I love myself? But it's actually the other way around. If you just love yourself, all the other questions about why can't you do it kind of disappear. How do you do it? It just disappears. You know, it's not a reason. You don't need a reason why to exist. You don't need a reason, a feeling, an experience, an event, a person to tell you, to know you, to feel for you, a reason to justify, to explain your existence, to explain that you should be allowed to be in this world. You don't need that, right? And you keep searching for it, But that only makes it worse, because the more you search for the answer, the more you become dependent on those answers that you seek. Which is the wrong way to go about it. Why? Because the answer was right in front of your face all along. In front of my face in this case, right? Again, I'm talking from my experience of talking. I'm using words you, I should say I. So in my case, it's just, it's not why I can be loved. Why I'm not good enough. Why am I doing something wrong? Why can I not find what I'm doing wrong? Why don't people just leave me alone? It's just, what if they don't leave you alone? What about it? What if you do something wrong? What if I do something wrong? What if I don't know what I'm doing right or wrong? Well, none of this fucking matters, because none of this is relevant to the main thing. The main thing is not even a question. It's not supposed to be a question with an answer. It's just love yourself. That's it. It's just so dead fucking simple. It was so simple. But that, you know, things become, if you guys have been through this kind of stuff, you know that things that sometimes people take for granted, things that are given to people, they don't really realize how difficult it is for other people. So they kind of take it for granted. In my case, this is a prime classic example. It's like a case study 101. Someone who's grown up with love and affection given to them unconditionally doesn't have to work through and find a reason or find an experience to justify their existence. It's not some philosophical question. They're just given. They just know, I'm allowed to be, I'm allowed to love, I'm allowed to, even if I get angry or throw a temper tantrum or a gossip or spread a slander, even if I am a good person or a bad person, none of that matters. All that matters is that I'm allowed to be. There's no reason for it. There's not a why, and there's not a how. There isn't a method, which is a how. There isn't a reason, which is a why. There are no arguments. There are no explanations. There are no justifications. I just am. I'm allowed to be. I'm not deserving of it necessarily. I'm not entitled to be it. It's just, I'm just allowed to be, you know? And that's not, it's also not the opposite, right? It's not the self-entitlement. It's not deserving of anything. Like I kept thinking it was, and I kept guilt-tripping myself into, which is something I was conditioned to, but I should not have been conditioned to do that. At the end of the day, who cares what, right? It's like, who cares? But it's hard for me to say at that time, you know, when I kept telling myself, who cares? No matter what I tried to do, say, oh, who cares? Just think about this instead. Or so distract yourself. Oh, who cares? Right? It doesn't matter. So I would try to embed, it doesn't matter, and repeat that. None of it worked, because it didn't address the root problem. And the root problem was something that I kind of avoided, I realize now. Throughout my entire, all this, despite all the hundreds of thousands of solutions that I've gone through, the one thing I just could not consistently believe in was that I was allowed to be. I would say it half-handed, half-heartedly. I would kind of half-ass it. I'd be like, oh, yeah, I'm allowed to be, yeah. But I didn't say it with conviction. I didn't believe it with conviction. If I said it, I certainly didn't feel that way. And I said, you know, if you're going through this much pain, maybe it's time you actually took this solution seriously instead of half-assing it and actually believe it for what it is. As cliche as it sounds, and I know you don't like cliches, Rishav, because Rishav does not like cliches. I'm talking third person because I don't really like, I really just don't like cliches like that. But it's tried and tested. If you love yourself, would any of these behaviors, any of these tactics to control or constrain or to get angry or to, what would be the